You're listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame.
So, happy Friday. How are you today?
I am good. Yep, so far so good.
Good, 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 good. Well, we were talking on here not long ago, actually, just on Monday, weren't we? But yeah. We just to kind of set the scene a little bit, people. Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. If you're watching, please do comment, even if it's on the replay, hashtag replay, of course, because we'll pick up comments afterwards. But if you are here and you are watching, please do say hello so we know that we're not just talking to ourselves. Yes, we don't normally, we have gone live on Fridays before, but we always record a podcast on a Friday. So we decided that we would actually go live to record the podcast today. Just so we could have some engagement and some interaction and answer any questions if there are any questions from any of you guys out there. So as always, we're going to obviously discuss a topic that we have encountered this week with our clients or through our research, etc. And then if you do have any questions related to that or any other nutrition, health, fitness related questions, then please do just pop them in the comments and we'll endeavor to answer them as best we can. Okay, so Jeff, today we've decided that we're going to talk about restriction dieting, the binge and restrict cycle, and try to distinguish, I guess, the difference, not only to talk about this cycle, but also to distinguish what the difference is between kind of binging and overeating, because I think the two are often confused, and as well as talk a little bit about what we would call a splurge.
Yeah.
So before we do go into the technicalities of that, I just wanted to kind of explain what we mean by the diet binge or the binge and restrict cycle, whatever it is that people do tend to call it. And for me, it's about, and this is something that most of my clients come to me struggling with, it's about that period, it's about going through periods where you feel that you're in control. So you're on it. Hi, Matthew. Thanks for joining.
Yes.
So periods where you're on it, you're being focused, you're really being really, really good, you're on plan, you're eating clean foods 24/7. And then all of a sudden you find that you fall off the wagon and you lose control and you're actually doing the complete opposite. And you're eating everything in sight. And I think this is a common cycle that a lot of my clients find themselves in. Is this something that you find as well, Jeff?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of the most common things. And it, I think it covers a broad range too. It covers everything from just being really good, quote unquote, throughout the week. And then on the weekend, you just can't take it anymore. So you have your cheat day or your cheat meal. And really that is much more than what you realize, the impact that that has, all the way from that to full-blown binge eating disorder or bulimia, which bulimia is another binge type eating disorder. So so it covers that whole spectrum.
Yeah, and it's really interesting you should say that as well, because obviously if we were talking about somebody who had been diagnosed with bulimia or even binge eating disorder, we would recognize that was disordered, yeah? Whereas when we talk about somebody who just is good all week and then kind of has, you know, overeats at the weekend and feels out of control at the week, we kind of almost accept that that's okay and that's normal. But actually, if your weekends are looking so drastically different to the rest of your week, then there's work to be done. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially for long term.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about an athlete trying to make weight for a fight. I mean, you know, there are cases where there are certain things that, you know, you have to weigh the pros and cons and make it, you know, make a trade-off for one or the other. We're talking about general and for long term success. And yeah, you just can't if you're always looking different on the weekend than you are during the week, drastically different, it's going to be difficult to maintain that.
Yeah. And I think what tends to happen, and you hear it all the time, it's, you know, it's so accepted now to be like, oh, diet starts Monday. Oh, I know how I'm going to deal with my overeating or my binging or my splurging at the weekend. I'm just going to go back, get back on it and exert this, you know, intense control come Monday. Mm-hmm. But what people don't realize is that actually that just makes the situation worse. It's a progressive cycle, and it will get, and this is what tends to happen with my clients. They'll go through it and they'll realize that over time, it gets progressively worse, because the mm-hmm. more control you exert, the more you try to be restrictive, controlled, exert willpower, the harder you're going to fall, you know? And this is why the cycle gets more and more difficult and more draining physically, emotionally, and mentally. Would you agree?
Yeah, it is. It's not an overnight thing. It's there's a song that brings to mind that was called Slow Fade. And it was basically talking about a man who strays from his marriage, but it talked about it being the slow fade. It was just one little thing here, one thing mm-hmm. over here. And over time, he went from a marriage that had a few little issues to full blown now with another woman. And I think that's what happens with our diet a lot of times, is it's a slow process. It may start when we're 10 years old. As a child, and it may have built for the last 20 or 30 years. And so, or it may have just been something traumatic happened, 2 or 3 years ago. And as a result, you've just slowly been gradually, making that progressively worse. Or maybe you got on a diet that someone convinced you to start. And then over time, it's contributed to this. And now you're struggling in this area.
And this is it. And this is it, because, you know, at the end of the day, and what you've mentioned there is so important, it's about understanding and identifying triggers. And this is often what clients do struggle with sometimes when they come to work with me, because they just want a solution. They just want a plaster to stick over it for now. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily want to really dig deep. Well, I say that they don't. They usually do by the time they come to me. It's just a different approach. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the thing that keeps people stuck, is that they don't want to dig deep. They don't really want to understand the triggers. They don't want to, you know, acknowledge them and do the work sometimes. And I think what you've just mentioned there as well about dieting, you know, the fact is that many people find themselves in this overeating or this binge cycle because they've broken a diet rule. Yeah. Or they've let themselves, this is a really common one that my clients, and one really simple thing that often helps my clients kind of get off that roller coaster is regular mm-hmm. eating that is actually, you know, sustainable and is, you know, meals and snacks that are actually providing them with the nutrition that they need, rather than it being empty calories in order to, you know, control their weight. They are, you know, because this is the other thing, triggers can often be breaking a diet rule. So doing something, you know, eating a food that you've told yourself is wrong, or mm-hmm. not exercising or something like that, that can trigger things, can't it? And also, like I said, you know, starving yourself and not eating properly and get yourself to a point where your biological hunger kicks in. And then that's when you can find yourself feeling out of control. And it's funny because I was only talking about this with a client today, and this cycle can really, really make you feel, and I know this is something that we spoke about before, so it's not, you know, we're not going to go into it now, but we can reference it if anybody's interested. But this cycle can really make you feel like you have some kind of a food addiction, can't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it causes those self-doubt in your own ability to regulate your food intake, to manage your life. You know, you feel guilty for slacking off, you know, all these different thoughts come in, and they build on each other. And then they also carry over into other areas of your life.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's really the problem, is it's not just food. And that's what we get stuck on, this idea that eating is all about nutrition and the physiological response and, you know, how much body fat we have, but it carries over into every other area, social and emotional and psychological, and it's just so multifaceted.
And this was another conversation I was having with a client yesterday, and he was saying, well, food is, you know, why am I wanting to eat when I'm not hungry? Why am I making these choices? You know, food is just fuel. That's all it is. And I'm like, you know, we need to work on that mindset. We need to work on that, because that belief is keeping you stuck right now. That idea that you shouldn't eat unless you're hungry, that idea that you shouldn't, I mean, don't get me wrong, people, you know, definitely there are people that are overeating and, you know, and abusing emotions. Yes, darling. Sorry. Leo's just come in and asked if he can have a bag of Monge too.
Yeah.
Yesterday, was it the other day? Last week, when was it? We were doing a live and he came in asking if he could have some sweets.
Yeah, I think so.
I love Monge too. Going back to what I was saying again, I mean, don't get me wrong, that definitely when you've got an unhealthy relationship with food, the chances are you are abusing, you know, you are overeating and abusing it to a certain extent. But the first part of that is to accept and acknowledge that we don't always eat just because we are hungry. We eat for social and emotional. We eat for, you know, for feelings of satisfaction, etc. And when you begin to acknowledge and accept that and not just think it's a physiological thing, you can then begin to move on and start to listen to your body, can't you?
Yeah. And you're taking control of your life. And you're getting your actions in alignment with what's going on internally, emotionally, psychologically, and physically. Because there's emotional and psychological driving factors, and there's physiological driving factors that we can't just ignore very easily. I mean, you can for a period of time, but at some point it starts to wear on your emotional feelings, and it starts to drain you. Physically as well as mentally. And it's just, we can only do that so long and before we collapse.
Absolutely. Well, it's like I sometimes use the analogy of like needing to go to the toilet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to go for a wee, sorry to be, but you know, how long can you actually hold that off before your body is literally, I need to go now and I'm going to, you know, pain when we're trying to literally ignore what our bodies are telling us about food. Mm-hmm. We can only do it for so long. It's another one I use is, you know, and I know I've spoken about this before on here, but when you hold your breath underwater, eventually you need to come up and you need to gasp for air, because you cannot fight your body for long. You know, it's an incredible piece of machinery. And if you're not listening to it, if you're not feeding it, if you're not listening to your internal cues, then, this is where the internal battle comes in. We're trying to control. It's like when you're trying to hold yourself when you need a wee. It's like when you're trying to hold your breath in the water. You can only do it for so long. So why do we think we can do it? You know, our hunger, you know, and all of the things that kick in, all the biological and the physiological things that kick in order to make sure that you are being fed properly, you know, they cannot be ignored permanently. They cannot be ignored for too long.
Yeah, and it's a survival mechanism that our bodies are designed to have to keep us alive. And so it's by its very nature, it's something that is going to be very difficult to ignore, very difficult to overcome, very difficult to just push down and squash, because it's there to help us stay alive. And so that's why it's so strong. It's not just like an itch on your back that you can bit to scratch and you can kind of ignore it. I mean, it's something that is driving us to survive. And so, and it's a very low level kind of a process in our body. And so it makes sense why it's so hard to override that for any extended period of time.
Well, somebody used a really great analogy, actually. I mean, we've used quite a few here, but that, talking about like this cycle, this constant kind of yo-yo cycle, diet cycle, thinking about it like a bow and arrow. You know, you can pull back, you can be restrained, you can control for so long, okay, but the more you pull back and the more you control, okay, the further you're gonna then fire afterwards, you know what I mean? So basically, you know, the more controlled you are, the worse it's going to get at the other end. And this is why it does get worse. This is why it's progressively worse. Mm-hmm. And this is why over time you find that the cycle perpetuates, and you find that you can be more and more controlled and more disciplined, but then you find that, you know, on the other, you literally are compensating for this on the other side, aren't you?
Yeah. And I think it's because it builds on itself, because, I had this really good illustration here that outlined different aspects of this binge restrict cycle. And, you know, you start off with restriction and then you kind of get this brief relief from the anxiety. You know, it's kind of you're okay with that restriction for a period. It feels okay. But then the cravings and the emotional and psychological stuff starts to kick in. And then there's something that triggers you.
Yeah.
Whether it's a hard day, it could be something that simple. It could be that a fight with your partner. It could be something else. And then you binge. right? Yeah. And then you end up binging. And then after you do that, then you feel this guilt and this shame. Often people feel disgust, like literally feel disgusted with themselves. And so this is why oftentimes these binges go on in secret, and often why our clients won't even tell us about them. It's like they're paying us money and they won't even tell us about them because they feel guilty to bring it up. They don't want us to know about that secret thing that's going on in their life. And they certainly keep it from friends and family often, alcoholic might. And then what happens again? You restrict. But now that second time around that circle, you're already kind of feeling bad about yourself and feeling that you can't control it. And so it keeps building and building, and then it gets worse and worse over time. And I think that is just a really good illustration for how it builds on itself, because you can see the emotional impact. And any time that we're taking our issues with our mental health or emotional health and worsening that, step by step, if we keep doing the thing that caused it to start in the first place, we're just going to keep making it worse and worse over time. And it just makes it so difficult.
Perfect question by Tony Blush there. You know, how do you maintain control? This is the problem. This is the thing. You know, you keep trying to maintain control, trying to constantly get back in control is the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an easy fix. It's not an easy. It's not about exerting more and more control. It's about getting back in touch with your body's internal signals. It's about getting back in touch, letting your body get back in charge. And it's about, and you just mentioned then, Jeff, about anxiety. And this is the thing: is that often people that are struggling, people that got issues with food, it's an anxiety disorder very often, or creates anxiety. And it's about getting to the root cause of that, the root cause of the anxiety. So it's about, for me, it's about understanding your triggers. So I do a massive part of the work that I do with clients is about understanding triggers. Mm-hmm. And B, then it's about getting back in touch, because the more you try and control and restrict, the more that you are not listening to what's going on internally. And, you know, and the thing is that people think that the answer is to exert more control. But it's not. It's far from it. That just makes it worse.
Yeah, it's really the opposite in many ways. So how do you maintain control? You stop restricting so much.
Control and start putting your body back in charge. I talk about, I've spoken about this before. It's just a slight, it's a slight shift from thinking that you need to be in control to thinking, I'm going to put my body back in charge. I'm going to take charge again. And it's not, it's really quite, a lot of people think that you need to have some shiny new diet to follow, or you need to have some shiny new rules or restrictions. But actually, no, it's quite boring and quite, it's about actually just listen. And I say boring, but it's not easy. But this is often the most meaningful work you will ever do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting to the root. It's getting to the, it's not just sticking a plaster over the wound, like you always say, Jeff. It's not just sticking a plaster over a gaping wound. You really need to go back and stop thinking you can just paper over the cracks, and it's a mindset shift. I've got clients who I've been working with for months now that still get to the point where they're like, I just need you to tell me what to do, Rebecca. And I'm like, go to Slimming World then, because you're not going to get that from me. I'm not going to guide you. And I'm not going to give you things to work on. Absolutely, mm-hmm. I'll do. But I'm never going to say to my client, right, you need to do X, Y, Z, not eat this, not eat that. That's just not going to work, because all I'm going to do is exasperate the exact thing that they've come to me to try and solve and get away from.
Yeah, those are great points. I mean, that's kind of the key. Is it really comes down to dealing with it at the root of the issue rather than trying to treat the symptom. So the symptom is that we're eating too much candy, as an example, or we're eating too much McDonald's, whatever. That's what we see as. We see the symptom of I'm eating too much of this stuff, or I put on excess weight. And then we often attack that by saying, well, I need to just stop eating all this stuff. Yes. And I need to go on a diet to get rid of the weight. That's the problem. But the problem is at a deeper level. And if we never address that, we're just going to keep bouncing right back to where we were. And it may be that you get back to where you are now by eating something else. It may not be. It's like maybe you did kick the McDonald's habit, so to speak. But then you have something else that replaces it that brings you back to the same place that you were before, because you didn't deal with the root of the issue. And we see that in everything in life with parenting. When we try and get our kids to behave a certain way, but we don't deal with the issue that caused the behavior in the first place, then now we get this nice little kid that, you know, this little Stepford wife type kid who's behaving appropriately or acting a certain way that we think is good. But under the covers, there's all this turmoil going on and there's not this heart change to go along with it. You know, kind of like you get the kid to say sorry to their brother when they punch him in the face and they're like, go tell your brother you're sorry. And they go, sorry. And you're all, no, you say it and mean it. Okay, sorry. And then you're like, okay, good, thanks. And they didn't mean it. Yeah. They just figured out how to get
them. Out of the minute. It was like, yeah. Don't tell me you're sorry when you don't mean it. No, and I think as well, another thing to really kind of, I think it's really important, I do want to move on to kind of identifying or explaining the difference between binging, overeating, purging, et cetera. But before I do, I just wanted to also say, you know, very often it's about a mindset change, and it's about not seeing food as a way to manage your weight, okay? Because actually, you know, you trying to control your food intake to manage your weight will backfire at some point. You know, your body is your best way of regulating and managing your, listening to your body is your, you know, it's got its own internal regulation system. And by listening to external rules, by living by, by living with diet culture, basically, you're eroding that trust, which is why people are struggling. And I think, you know, at one point I wanted to make is that dieting is not necessarily an action. It isn't an action. It's a state of mind. Would you agree, Jeff?
Yeah. I think it is. It's a mentality and how it's what contributes to these feelings of disgust. These feelings of frustration, these feelings that we're supposed to do this because, you know, we're supposed to lose weight because when you get to a certain size, you're no longer acceptable as, according to society, that your body is not at the optimal size. It should be at this size if you want to look beautiful or if you want to, you know, be healthy, so to speak. And so, it kind of pushes us to try and attain that standard.
Yeah, exactly that. And it comes from, insecurities, body image, you know, thinking you've got to be a certain way or look a certain way. And then, but, you know, and I think many people will say to me, well, no, I'm not restricted, Becky, because I do allow myself to eat chocolate or bread sometimes. And it's like, no, that's even just allowing yourself, just the words that you use. Think about the words that you use. Oh, I can't have this, or I can't have that. Or, you know, even though, you know, that is a diet, you know, it's a dieting mindset, or thinking that you have to exercise to manage your weight. Again, it's a dieting mindset. You shouldn't be exercising to manage your weight. You should be exercising because it feels good. You should be eating in a certain way because it feels good. And people tend to think that when they trust their bodies, they're going to end up eating, you know, overly processed foods all the time, chocolate and crisps all the time. It's not the case. You may go through a period where you feel like you are, but your body's not going to, when you're listening to your body, and, you know, this is the thing, how many people, you know, okay, there might be a honeymoon period on a diet. You might feel good to begin with on a diet because you feel like an angel, because you're, you know, you're exercising some sort of control and you feel good because you've eliminated a lot of the processed food. But over time, you know, you don't feel good for long, do you? You end up feeling deprived. You end up feeling, if you're not eating enough, you're lacking energy. You're feeling that you can't spend time with your family, etc. You know, so it's, you know, and this is the other thing, you know, I was talking to someone recently and people tend to think because they're dieting, they're healthy. If you're dieting, are you healthy? You know?
Yeah.
What's the answer to that question?
Yeah. And it's not necessarily, I mean, and health, again, it's not just healthy physically, but healthy mentally and psychologically and socially and all of those other kinds and areas of health. Justin said, so easy to grab for junk food when working from home and when you're really busy. It's so hard. Yeah, it's really hard to go and to have those snacking things, those times when we're just stressed. And what do we do? I can relate to that because when I am stressed or when I'm tired, food is definitely something that I tend to want to go and get and eat. And, how do you deal with that kind of thing?
Yeah, but to be fair, that I mean, you know, I wouldn't pick that. And it would be about, there's probably various things going on there. You know, you are really busy when you're working from home. That's absolutely true. But there is no, you know, there is no reason, and I say this like there's no reason, you know, you should not be working without some kind of a break. You're not going to be productive. So I always say to people, just even if it's just 10 minutes to actually just eat your lunch undistracted, away from your computer, etc., that can make a massive difference. Planning is huge. Making sure that you are thinking the day before about what you've got coming up and thinking about the food options that you've got available. Also, when you do this work and you find out what makes you feel good, you're less likely to go for the junk food. You're less like, you know, when you're actually stopping and thinking about how your body reacts to certain foods, when you're being more mindful, you will make choices that support your health much better. You're probably still going to occasionally want some, you know, overly processed foods. I'm not going to call it junk because I've got an issue with calling junk food. Obviously, I wrote about this the other day. It's just less nutritionally dense food. It's, you know, it's still food. It's just food. It's not, you know, it's got a place in our lives. And I think the other thing is as well is, you know, it's about identifying those triggers. So what do you think you're getting out of constantly grabbing that food? What you know, and are you hungry? Is there something else going on? Because is there a physical need? Is there an emotional need? So, you know, there's lots of things, isn't there? There's not a one size fits all, but there are lots of different things to consider here. But the first things I would definitely think about are kind of, you know, planning, structure, thinking about as well, the setting yourself up to make sure that the snacks that you're going for are balanced. So thinking about protein and produce, you know, thinking about, you know, so this is making sure that you're getting some fiber, some protein, a little bit of fats in each snack, because then you're going, because the other thing is that if you're constantly just going for junk food, if you're not taking breaks, you're going to get these sugar crashes. You're going to get these dips in your blood sugar levels, which will just mean you want a quick fix. So yeah, there are some quick, easy things you can do. But then I would say, once you've got those quick, easy things into place, it's then identifying the other stuff that's going on underneath.
Yeah, I'd agree. And to kind of build on what Rebecca was saying there, the structure that she kind of mentioned there, often people when they're dieting or trying to stick to healthy eating, for lack of a better word, they will skip meals or think that they should eat low calorie diet kinds of meals. So you see these in the U.S. Here we have these healthy choice pre-frozen meals, and you look at them and you're thinking, oh wow, it's healthy choice, it's low calorie, and so you think, oh, it's only 300 calories. Well, 300 calories for a meal, for most of us, especially if you're a grown man and you know, 6 foot tall or taller or something like that, maybe a 300 calorie meal is not very sustaining. That's not enough. And when we see that, and when we're always thinking in the low calorie mindset, or I'm just going to have a salad for lunch today, now you're missing out on certain nutrients that are going to help sustain you through those difficult times when you are working and when you are feeling hungry. Skipping snacks is another one. If you have planned out certain meal and snack times for the purpose of keeping your hunger managed well throughout the day, and you skip your snack, well, of course, you're going to be hungry at some point. And if you wait until you're hungry to eat, like overly hungry, then it makes it much easier for you to reach for the quick fixes that are easy to get down quickly. Often they knock out our hunger right away, but they don't sustain us. And so as Rebecca was saying there, think protein, fat, carbs in each one of your feedings, whether it's a snack or a full-blown meal. And those are going to be more sustaining and really help you to get through those times between meals. Now, I mean, that doesn't really fix the problem if you're only going to the food because you're emotional or for an emotional reason or boredom. That's a different issue. But often it's kind of a combination of the two.
Sometimes as well, and you know, when I talk about aspects, it comes down to, you know, we'll often crave those junk foods, etc. If we're not, you know, it's self-care 101. Again, talking to another client about this today, you know, we were trying to unpick why he was going back to, you know, eating cookies instead of his, you know, his protein and produce snack in the afternoon. And he was like, I'm not sleeping. You know, if you're not looking after, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not allowing breaks, if you're not getting some fresh air, your body is going to be screaming for these things, and your food is going to be your default. Food's going to be where you're going to get your energy from. So, you know, people tend to just miss the basic self-care. And it's so important because, like I said, you know, it's going to make navigating the food environment that you're living in much, much more difficult if you're not, looking at yourself. And also, like you said as well, if you're not fueling yourself, I mean, you know, we said food is more than fuel, it is. But again, if you're going long periods without eating, or your meals and your snacks are not sustaining you, then you're going to hit issues as well. And I wanted to point out there as well what you said about, you know, people trying to diet for health reasons. That's another thing. And this is the other thing we're seeing more and more now. And it drives me nuts. While I'm just eating like this to be healthy, if underlying it all is being healthy is either losing a few pounds or trying to manage your weight right now, even now, I've got clients that say to me, I've been dieting for so long that I have to diet just to maintain my weight. Yeah, that's not eating. That's not dieting for health reasons. It's just, you know, you're kidding yourself. I'm sorry, but you are. But to be honest with you, it doesn't help with the messaging that's out there now, because the diet industry have got clever. The diet industry know that everyone's, you know, saying fad diets, you know, crash diets don't work. So, you know, they're saying now you need to do this. You need to follow this approach to be healthy or whatever. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I kind of give, you know, fad diets and, you know, all of these things, you know, I give them a bit of a bashing. But, you know, I'm not saying no one should ever diet. I'm not saying no one should ever count their calories. Far from it. But I'm saying if you have got a disordered relationship with food, if you're out of touch with your body and its internal signals, if you literally don't know when you're hungry until you're starving hungry, then you need to do some work first. Mm-hmm. Once you've rebuilt your trust in your body, then, you know, I'm not saying don't go ahead and do a diet or count your calories or whatever, but do the proper work first. And I think this is the thing, is that most people, when they come to me, they've been so caught up in the diet, the binge diet cycle. They're so messed up. They don't know what to do anymore. They've tried every diet under the sun. It hasn't worked. They're confused. So going on another diet is very often the last thing they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so true. I mean, it's just a typical pattern that happens over and over again for a lot of us. I mean, a lot of us are still, I mean, talking about this stuff and sort of preaching this message, so to speak, I still find myself being caught up in that mentality. And it's because that's all that we hear around us. And because I know physiologically how fat loss works. And so it's hard for me to pull that out. You know, I do know that eating less makes me lose weight. And so it's really tempting to force myself, well, you know, I could just force myself to eat less and that'll get these few pounds off. And it undermines all of what you've been working on and trying to get really back in tune with your body. So
it's hard, and I'm not going to say that, you know, I walk around every day not think, you know, and I've been speaking about this recently. There were some times when I think I was going to buy something the other day. I can't remember what it was. I was talking to someone about it recently, and I was going to buy something that I'd not eaten for a while. And I remember when I was in that horrible cycle, you know, it was always every food choice I made, didn't matter if I enjoyed it, didn't matter if it was healthy, it just had to be low calorie because, you know, I was so obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And I remember this cropped up for me recently. I think I went to buy something and I went for the lower calorie version, even though I knew the other version was going to taste much better. And it wasn't because it was a, you know, it wasn't a, this is a low fat, low carb. It was just a lower, it was meat. Was it? I can't remember what it was now. Anyway, to cut a long story short, my habit, and I had to question myself and go, what are you doing that for, Becky? Oh, I know why you're doing that. You're doing that because, you know, that's what diet culture tells you. And that's what you always would have done. You would have chosen the lower calorie option, you know, over pleasure, satisfaction, et cetera. I mean, I didn't. I chose what I wanted to. But all I'm saying is that those thoughts still creep in. You know, even people like me, like Jeff, you know, people that are in the industry, people that, you know, we are still navigating this environment. We are still navigating thoughts that crop in because of the belief system that was there for so long. But the thing is, you know, and the thing that you need to learn is that you are not your thoughts. And if you can question them and not just go into autopilot, if you can think about them and stop, that's then when the permanent change can begin to occur and you can reframe things. Interesting, Justin just said, easy for me to hit the carbs too, to be honest. But you know, why are carbs, is it, are you eating too many overly processed carbs? If you're eating too many overly processed carbs, I mean, it's leaving you feeling rubbish, etc., then it's, you know, but otherwise, you know, what are we talking about? We're talking about whole grains and those kind of things, because carbohydrates have been given a really, really bad name, haven't they? And you know, I think we need to move away from just thinking carbs are bad, because they're not.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful. And kind of a fun fact about carbs is that they, I mean, we all know that they trigger the release of insulin, and which is often given a bad rap too. But insulin is actually, one of its roles is satiety. So when insulin rises, our body tells us, hey, I'm good. I've got some food in my system. And so it dials down those things. So lots of bread and pasta. You sound like me. Those are two of my favorites, and I eat lots of bread and I eat lots of pasta.
We're Italian. No, we're Italian in this house. Bread is life. Pasta is life. You know, it's pizza is life. After eating my beer bread this week, I bought some bread that's Cheeky Imp, I think it is, from Vine's Bakery in Lincoln. If anyone is in Lincoln, cheeky little plug there for them. They're amazing. And I bought some a loaf yesterday that was made with beer. So it was great. Anyway, lots of bread and pasta. Okay, you probably need to be thinking, Justin, about what you can add into your diet.
Yep.
Okay, you know, what can you have as well as, I'm not saying don't have bread and pasta, not by any means, but what other things could you start incorporating? Do you need to add some more veggies? Do you need to add some more legumes? Do you need to, you know, what kind of other things can you start incorporating in your diet as well? I would say, would you agree, Jeff?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm all about adding in rather than taking out. So rather than taking out bread and pasta, because clearly if you say lots of bread and pasta, I think it's safe to assume you actually really like those. And I do too. I would probably be more likely to take medication for my entire life if I was told you either have to take these pills every day or not eat bread and pasta. I would probably take the pills every day, even if it cut my life by 10 years. Because I just love it. And that's one of the things that's hard with restricting is we take something out that brings us joy and satisfaction and pleasure. And there's nothing morally wrong with it. It's one thing if we take something out of our life that is morally a problem. From a moral standpoint, but food is not. Food is just food. And so that's why this restriction leads to then the binging. I mean, we don't binge on something we don't enjoy, typically, at least to some extent. And so it's, you know, when we keep ourselves away from something we really like, and then at some point we're just going to want it.
That is an interesting point, though, because, okay, you say we don't binge on things we don't enjoy, but actually, when you are restricting foods, then develop this idea that they taste a lot better than they do.
Yeah. And that's a good point. Cause in sort of the general sense, we tend to binge on the things that we like, but when it really gets out of control, we'll find that we're binging on things that we don't even really like that much.
Yeah. Well, I've had this client who said this to me, you know, I don't even like these foods, you know? So but that does bring me on to, you know, what is, you know, how do we define the difference between a binge and overeating?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I kind of went through that binge restrict cycle, and so it sort of highlighted the guilt and shame aspect of it. And I think that's a big part of the difference between binging and overeating. And I think it's important that we use the right words. Some people may be saying, "Well, it's just semantics," but it's just like when somebody says, "Oh, I'm so OCD." Well, no, you're not. That's a diagnosed mental health condition. Obsessive compulsive disorder is not just that you tend to overthink things a little bit, or that you like a clean house or whatever. I mean, it's actually kind of offensive to people who actually have OCD when you just sort of flippantly say that or refer to someone as autistic when they are not, when they don't have that condition. But I think it's kind of the same thing. We always hear this binging. Oh, I binged this weekend because you decided to eat a whole large pizza. That's not necessarily a binge. That could just be overeating. So how would you describe that difference?
Yeah, I just want to pick on as well to what Justin said there about adding more variety rather than restricting. And I just want to say, I had a new client recently and I was like, let's look at what you can add in rather than, and he laughed at me. And he laughed and I went, what? And he went, he says, you're the last person I'd expect to be telling me to add in. And I'm like, hey, you know, this is because we're actually looking at this from a from you rebuilding your relationship with food and having a healthy diet. You know, I'm not here to try and get any brownie points for you losing a stone in a week. Do you know what I mean? Anyway. Yeah. It was, for me, yeah, I mean, great point there. You know, a binge is not eating a, you know, the difference for me between, you know, well, not for me, I think the differences between binging and overeating really are, you know, a binge is when you lose control, isn't it? It's when you literally cannot stop yourself from eating something, okay? Mm-hmm. It's feeling that you've just completely lost control and cannot stop. You're not, yeah. Okay, and I think, and then what happens then is that you tend to have this guilt and this shame, like you said, you know, and I've got clients who have, you know, who are people that come to me and they've probably been, you know, binging in secret for a long, long time, but I've never told anybody else until they, you know, so I think, and then you've got, I think as well with binging, it tends to be certain foods, very predictable foods. So it will be, you know, typically your cookie or your chocolate or the things that are being restricted. So the foods tend to be high carbohydrate, high fat foods, you know, very predictable foods. Whereas when you overeat, like what you said then about, you know, if you choose to eat a huge pizza at the weekend, and you probably could stop, but you're eating it, you're enjoying it, and afterwards you feel a bit uncomfortably full, mm-hmm. you know, that's overeating.
Yeah, and you might even say, "Oh, I wish I hadn't done that," but you don't feel bad about yourself. You're just kind of like, "That was not a good idea. I shouldn't have done that."
You probably feel a bit sluggish. You probably feel a bit. Your body's like, "Oh, there's too many processed carbs there. Too much, you know." But the difference is that, you know, every normal eater overeats at some point. You know, we do. Okay, because we eat for social reasons and emotional reasons, etc. So yeah, exactly, and you might feel a bit ugh, but you don't feel ashamed and embarrassed and like you want to hide it, because that's the other thing. Binging often happens in isolation. So you know, a binge could be, you know, where you sneak something up to your bedroom and eat it in secret, or you're hiding in a corner, or you're hiding food. You know, that was a trick. But you know, where you're hiding food from the rest of your family to eat in secret. You know, that is binging.
Yeah. And it's very different. It has a very different impact on us long term, as well as and emotionally and psychologically.
It has, yes.
Yeah. Because when I go to Thanksgiving dinner and I eat three plates of the kind of the main dishes and then eat three or four desserts, which that is not uncommon for me, I don't feel particularly great afterward, but I enjoyed the time. And I always afterward, I'm like, I ate way too much. I probably shouldn't have done that, but I don't feel guilty. I don't feel ashamed. I don't. I'm just kind of like that. It is what it is.
And when you do that, you're not a pig.
Right. Okay? No. Exactly. No.
Because I have people that go, "Oh, I'm such a pig. I'm so greedy." But no, you're not. You're not. And stop. This is the other thing is, this can also perpetuate this cycle. You're identifying with being greedy, with being a pig. So then you are this person that can't change their behavior. And it's not true, you know. It really, you can change your relationship with food. You can change your behaviors around food. It takes time and it can be a slow process, but it can be done, because fundamentally they're behaviors. They're not inherent with who you are.
Yeah, and I think that's important that when we talk about relationship with food, that's kind of what we're referring to there, is how do you feel about it when you're in the presence of food, when you're in the presence of a new kind of food, when you do overeat, how do you feel about that action or that behavior that you did? And that determines really, that really describes what your relationship with food is like. And so that's kind of what it's important to work on that. If you ever have guilt or shame or disgust with yourself because of food in any way, then that's an area that you really should try and work on resolving. Doesn't mean that you'll never overeat again or that there's even anything wrong with overeating. It's how it makes you feel. And that's ultimately how it's going to carry over in the rest of your life. Because if we can't avoid food, we can't just say, okay, well, I only eat on Saturdays. And so we eat multiple times a day. And so if every time we're eating, it's causing these feelings of guilt, shame, anxiety, or where we're overthinking what we're putting in our mouth or how much we're eating, that's just going to, it really does impact so much of our life, our relationships and everything.
And one thing, and that's the difference as well between overeating and binging, is that, you know, a binge will affect mm-hmm. will affect other areas of your life. It will affect, you know, it will affect you emotionally, physically, etc. It will impair you. Whereas overeating, and the other thing to bear in mind is overeating can happen with any food. Overeating can happen with, you know, clean foods,
yeah,
or you know, chocolates, cookies, pizza, etc. Whereas, like I said, binging does tend to be the more predictable foods, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think one thing I will say as well is, you know, in order to kind of, if this is something that you are resonates and you are struggling with, apart from the fact that I'm starting a group program next week, if anyone's
yes,
interested. But no, that's that's by the by. But you know, one of the things, the worst thing you can do, and this is what people tend to do, the worst thing you can do when this happens, and we've spoken about this earlier, though, is then go and try and control and restrict. You know, if you found that you have overeaten, you know, or even binged, had, you know, an episode where you literally have felt in control, you then need to actually allow yourself to eat again afterwards, because otherwise you're never going to break the cycle.
Yeah. That's such a good point, because one of our responses, and I even had a conversation the other day with someone about this, was they ate more than they had planned on it. And so the question was, should I cut the calories the next day? And I said, it depends on why you're doing that. And so, you know, kind of talked a little bit about it, but if you're cutting it as a way of, okay, I did this bad thing, now I need to punish myself. That's really bad. But we have to understand that if something does happen, if we do have a binge or we have an overeating occasion, that just go back to what you were doing before that. I mean, it's not, there's nothing to repent of. There's nothing to beat yourself up over. And it's easier said than done. I'm not trying to minimize that, because it's much easier said than done.
If it was easy, we would be here talking about
exactly.
I wouldn't be working with the clients I'm working with. But it's really, I think, you know, what you're saying there as well, it's about neutralizing food.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
not seeing foods as, you know, you're not going to feel that guilt or that shame. Darling, I'm going to come and see you dinner in a minute. Please. Darling, I'll be done in a minute. No. Leo. Please. So it's about, please. Sorry, this is what happens. Don't, Leo. You know, when you normalize food, when you neutralize food, when you can see that all foods are just food,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you're not going to feel that guilt and you're not going to feel that shame. So part of the process, Leo. Part of the process is learning that. And that takes time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that takes often looking. He's in the background. Okay. That, you know, it often takes time. It, you know, you need to look back at your belief system. You need to think about the things that you were taught as a child, you know, about foods, etc. Mm-hmm. And, you know, often question that and really, really start to see all foods as, that, I mean, don't get me wrong, not all foods are, and we've said this before, not all foods are nutritionally equivalent,
right.
But emotionally, they should be. Emotionally, you mm-hmm. should not feel that any food is better or worse than another. Just you shouldn't feel that, sweetheart.
Some food is not
good.
Leo,
go
in
the room. Leo, go on, Leo.
Let me have it.
Just go and finish those things you were eating.
Nothing. I want to finish them.
Okay, well, I'm going to be there in 2 minutes. So, yeah, and I think that's part of the process. Part of that process is... Okay, bye, darling. Sorry, it's getting up to dinner time.
Yes, it's life.
This is the reality of life. He's trying to grow on me now for more food when it's his dinner in a minute. So. Anyway... talk about that structure and that division of responsibility at some point, but I'm not giving in. So I think as well, it's about when you can neutralize those foods as well, you can then move on to giving yourself permission to eat all of those foods. So these are what I'm talking about now are all of the things that you need to consider in order to thanks Justin, sorry about my son there, but
thank you.
In order to kind of break this cycle, it's about then once you've normalized foods, once you've neutralized all foods, you can then give yourself permission, unconditional permission, to eat those foods. Because once you do, they then stop having so much power over you.
Yeah. Yeah, that really helps with that process of just viewing them as food and making that connection again with your body and how you feel about them. And that's so much more beneficial than trying to cut things out rather than cutting things out. I mean, it's one thing to cut things out because they don't make you feel good. Like if you eat gluten as an example, and my youngest daughter, she's not celiac and she hasn't really had a gluten intolerance test or anything like that, with whether those work or not, you know, it's another topic, but she doesn't feel good when she eats wheat products. And she kind of figured that out. And now she feels better by not eating them. So she's cutting them out, but not because she thinks they're bad for her. She cut them out because she doesn't feel good when she eats them. And the same thing can be true for sugar, could be true for beef. When you eat beef, your stomach gets upset or you get diarrhea, then it's okay to cut those things out or to restrict them. And so that's, but when we're tuned in, it's very different.
Go from a different place.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because because of some diet rules that you've implemented.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I just want to point out there about, you know, if wheat products, gluten, et cetera, doesn't make you feel good, then the other thing is there's also to think, you know, you've got to think about then, if you are going to be cutting those things out, you've got to be thinking about the impact that that's going to have on your overall nutritional intake, mm-hmm. and your energy levels, etc. So if you all too often you'll see people going and ordering a burger with no bun and no fries and just having the burger and the salad, yep. and then at some point they are going to not going to be getting the fiber, the carbohydrates, etc. mm-hmm. that they need, and so they're going to possibly feel the energy levels are going to dip, they're not going to feel great because they're not getting everything. So it's about thinking, okay, if you're going to, what can you start to include to make sure that you're not becoming deficient in certain areas? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying with that?
Yeah. I was thinking of adding, what can you add to your diet to make yourself feel better?
Yeah.
And sometimes, what you need to add in is you need to add back in your desserts. You need to add back in the things that you enjoy, the pizza that you cut out. You need to add that back in at least periodically.
Thanks. I remember for years, I was like, I don't like pizza. I don't like pizza. I don't like pizza. And it was, that was rubbish. That was just me trying to pretend that I didn't like things so I could control what was going on. But, anyway, it's so funny because once you then, when you are listening to it, because the other thing I pointed out to make before Leo came in, was about when you said about your client who overate one day and she said, should I restrict my calories the next day? Well, you don't need to do that because your body will naturally do that anyway. If you've eaten more than you needed to do one day, your body the next day won't be as hungry. It will balance itself out. And I also wanted to point out as well, I often talk about the hunger and fullness scale and I think, one thing to bear in mind with this is that it's really, really difficult to start implementing that. And this was something you were saying earlier about kind of, not letting yourself get too hungry throughout the day. Mm-hmm. This happens very often because people aren't in touch, are they? They're not in touch with their internal hunger and fullness. Mm-hmm. So they don't recognize the subtle cues as they're coming up. They don't recognize the gentle hunger as it presents itself. When we can recognize the gentle hunger as it presents itself, we can honor it at the right time.
Yeah. And
when we honor it at the right time, we're not going to want to over, we're not going to be, we're not going to be biologically starving. And so we're not going to overeat and then feel uncomfortable. And it also means that when we're honoring it at the right time, it also means that we're going to, because we're not going to just need the food, we're going to slow down and we're going to be more mindful and we're going to be more satisfied with it.
Yeah.
And this is the caveat that comes with it, is that you cannot just suddenly, get back in touch with your hunger and your fullness when you've been on and off diets for so long.
Yeah.
It takes time. And this is why I always say to people, whilst the hunger and fullness scale is useful, you've got work to do before you can really, really get back in tune with it. And it shouldn't be about a hunger and fullness diet. Because I've got clients that say, well, I'll just eat when I'm hungry and I'll stop when I'm full. You probably don't know what that feels like right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because there's a difference between being full and being getting enough, being satisfied, full, stuffed, hungry, starving, all those different ways of describing your level of hunger and satiety. And it is. It's hard to differentiate between that at times.
I just want to point out then as well, you know, Leo's coming because he wants more food. And trust me, he just had a snack before we came home because I knew he needed it. Obviously, we have a structure in here, you know. And I'm just going to say, he had a snack not long ago and he's having his dinner very soon. There's no way that kid is starving. He's gently hungry, but that's okay. Because if he's gently hungry when it comes to dinner time, he's going to enjoy it much more.
Exactly. And he's more likely to eat a variety of foods, which again, that's such a key thing for nutrition.
Well, we spoke about all of this last week, didn't we?
So yep.
But one thing I do want to say as well, because I know we're coming up to time, if anybody's got any questions or comments, anybody's watching that hasn't commented, please do just drop your comments in before we finish. Or if you're watching the replay, please hashtag replay. And if you've got any questions. But one thing I really, really want to say as well is the one thing I think that is so important if you're finding yourself right now in this cycle, apart from getting in touch with myself or Jeff, is, you know, is compassion, self-compassion. You know, so often we feel that we have to be hard on ourselves, that we've got to beat ourselves up, that we've got to be angry or disappointed or, you know, with ourselves for making a choice that maybe wasn't quite right, or making, you know, and that, you know, we all do. We all make choices that don't make us feel great with food, but it's okay when this happens. Don't beat yourself up about it. Just show compassion, and if anything, get curious. Reflect on why you made that choice. Reflect on why you're. The other thing is, if you're beating yourself up and you're feeling guilty about making a choice, the chances are you're overriding what's really going on in your body. So you're not listening to actually how your body's reacting to that food. Whereas when you're curious and you're listening to your body and you're listening to what's going on, you find out much more, that mind-body connection becomes much deeper, and you find out much more about what's going on. So you then make choices based on what your body is feeling, rather than based on this whole, you know, this kind of rule system and this guilt and this shame that then drives you to this awful cycle.
Yeah, I mean, we see the same thing in mental health counseling. So counseling, therapy, those kinds of things. I'm sure more people have, there's probably a fair number of people listening who've been through some kind of counseling or therapy. And think about what did that therapist or that counselor do? They helped you unpack the root of why you're feeling the way you are and why you're engaging in the behaviors that you're engaging in that you don't want to engage in anymore, or that are detrimental to you as a person, and they're helping you unpack those things. And the same kind of thing has to happen with our food and our eating, is unpacking what it is, rather than, you know, you don't go to a therapist and they don't tell you, well, stop doing that, or that's not helpful. And so they help you unpack it so that you can figure out, what is it that I'm doing that's resulting in this? Same is true for the food. Figure out what's making you, what's causing these binges or overeating sessions, or your problem with food and that kind of thing. And when you do, it's so much easier to then deal with it and get it, you know, get your body back working like it's intended to.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say there as well, because I've had this conversation only recently, is that, you know, it is important to get to the root cause, and it is important to identify triggers. Absolutely. And those triggers could be, you know, those triggers could be because of diet rules. Those triggers could be because of, you know, a lack of structure. Those triggers could be because of boredom. They could be this surface stuff. It could be because all those triggers could be because of a deep, you know, you've experienced, or safety strategies that you developed over time to deal with uncomfortable feelings. But the thing is that you know, you don't have to, you know, go over your past experiences and dig deep and find out what happened, you know. But it's important to just identify that they are there and they are triggers.
Yeah.
You know. So I suppose, you know, it's
a good point too.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to psychoanalyze everything.
Yeah.
You can identify the triggers. It means then that you can begin to put the strategies in place to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point to clarify what I was referring to there.
Yeah, I think it was pretty clear anyway, but I think I was just having this conversation recently with a client about, you know, kind of the different approaches as well. Because I think, you know, I use different approaches, different, you know, when I'm working with clients. And depend on the client, definitely, because some clients do want to dig deeper, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Some clients don't. Some clients just want, you know, so, and that's okay too.
Yeah. And often they dig deeper in those areas with a person who is trained to help them with the mental health aspects of it. But recognizing that sometimes these things stem back to some sort of, for example, a traumatic experience as a child, an abusive situation. That wouldn't be something that I would be trying to unpack. But if we identified that something happened, then it may be, you know, if you see a professional for this, this may help you bring all of this together, because, you know, obviously understanding that emotional things can impact our nutrition. I think that's kind of what we're saying here, is it's important to understand that and identify those things. And
And we know what we can't work with, and we will refer out.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we want, you know, we care about our clients, we want the best for our clients. We work with a whole client, don't we, Jeff? It's not just about, like today, just to kind of, you know, one of my clients is struggling with, you know, with reaching for the junk foods more. Mm-hmm. Junk foods, sorry. Because
I still look at calories on packages of food I'm picking up. Are we still, it's so ingrained in us, isn't it?
It is. And I saw Justin's comment there as well. But, you know, he's kind of, you know, he does always say to me, well, okay, all the play foods, you know, but, you know, he's reaching more for the cookies and things like that when he knows he doesn't need them. And, you know, what we found out today, you know, he's tired, he's not sleeping, you know, like I spoke about earlier. So we're working on that. So I think my point is that, you know, we look at the whole person, because there's no point me saying, you know, you need to eat this way, you need to do this, you need to do that, if the basic needs aren't being met and the other things that kind of contribute to our health are not being addressed. So, you know, it's about deep coaching, isn't it? It's about, you know, and I know that's what we both do, Jeff, don't we? We really, it's about deep coaching for, you know, whole health.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, anything to add there? Anything we've missed? I think we
covered everything.
I think the main things are, we've kind of identified the difference between a binge and a splurge, let's say. You know, kind of what you need to do in order to stop this cycle is stop thinking that you need to further control and start, you know, thinking about some of these things that we spoke about in terms of compassion, neutralizing food, being curious. You know, being curious is something that's really, really important. You know, don't judge yourself.
Yeah. You know, and to understand it takes time.
Curiosity.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, and to understand it does take time to work through those things. These are not things to, because it can get frustrating when you think, oh, well, okay, that was a great tip. And then it doesn't happen overnight or in a week. And then you start, you know, those things you can start to beat yourself up over too. And so that's the thing, is you understand kind of, this is a process. This is something that takes time to go through. And sometimes you can do it yourself. There's some good self-help kind of resources and books and websites. But then also sometimes you need some coaching for a period of time. And so that's kind of where we can help in that area.
Yeah. And just to say, even, you know, at the end of the day, information is not transformation.
Right.
You know, if it was, you know, we'd all be kind of, you know, none of us would have any issues with food, and we'll be multimillionaires because we'd be doing everything that is the right thing to do. Right.
Yep.
So information is not transformation. And that's a really good point that you made there, because I've actually got some, you know, a couple of ladies that did my workshops that I've ended up booking onto my group program, because they said some of the stuff you said really resonated. I applied it, but then I couldn't do it consistently. And, you know, so it does require coaching, because it is a lot about mindset. It's about beliefs, and it's about how they are driving your behavior. So although you can know, and what Jeff and I are talking about makes sense, actually, you know, applying it and achieving transformation often does require that deeper coaching.
Yeah.
So anyway, on that note, thanks ever so much. I'm pleased that we went live.
Yeah.
If anybody, like I said, if anybody's watching the replay and have got any questions or any comments, then please do just leave them, hashtag replay, and we'll pick them up. But otherwise, thank you very, very much, Jeff, for joining me. And thank you, everybody, for watching.
Bye.
Bye.